What is proof of concept for a product? And what are some of the steps in the proof of concept process in order for you to understand whether your food product and food business is viable to move forward and produce your product? We're gonna get into a few things that you need to know and some questions you need to ask in order to make a proof of concept for your food business. We're gonna dive into that right now. All right, so welcome back to Marketing Food Online. It is David Roberti, founder and CEO of Marketing Food Online, and we are here doing another video to help you understand everything you need to know about the food entrepreneurship and the journey it takes to get from idea to your finished product and launch your food business. So I had a great question from actually a subscriber who emailed me and asked me about the proof of concept idea. I do a lot of consultations. I've done over 700 plus small business consults here at Marketing Food Online since 2017. And the question I get quite often is, what are some of the steps, Damien, to launch my product? I have some great ideas. I have a recipe, but I really just want to get right in there and get a co-packer and get a commercial kitchen and start making my product and then sell it. And that's when I tell them to put the brakes on, because you need to understand. All right, so basically, before we dive into all of these questions you need to ask yourself, you need to understand what is a proof of concept. So it all starts with an idea. Of course, everything that we do has an idea. You have a recipe, you have a food product, maybe an idea for a food truck, whatever it may be. Your passion for cooking or being a chef or producing a food product doesn't necessarily translate or equate to a great food product that's going to sell and make money. So you need what's known as proof of concept. This is the beginning phases of idea, where you develop the product, get it packaged, get it labeled, and then get it into the hands of people who will actually eat it and get some feedback from them. So what you're looking for is honest feedback. Now, I know many of you might have family and friends who tell you, oh, Damien, you know, that's such a great trail mix, that thing that you make, that snack is fantastic, or you know, those cookies are so delicious, you should sell them. Well, all of that feedback is not exactly proof of concept. Why? Because many family and friends are obviously going to tell you a lot of positive things, whether or not it's actually true, and you're not gonna get honest feedback from them, to believe it or not. Now, many of you may be thinking, well, I've got a lot of friends who tell me good and bad things. The idea is to get your product into strangers' hands. Farmers markets, local events, festivals, if it's a roadside stand, whoever it might be that you're going to sell your product to, you want complete strangers to give you 100% honest feedback. That process from concept to that final comment or response you get from a customer is going to be the proof of concept stage. That's something that's very, very simple, very easy to understand, but it's also sometimes challenging to decipher what is truly honest feedback or what are people just basically telling you what you want to hear. So before you invest money, before you dive into renting a commercial kitchen, or before you begin to produce a product when you don't even have proof of concept or even 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months worth of sales underneath your wing before you really invest money and time into it, you need that time, that stage in developing your product in order for you to really take a honest opinion and take a good look at your business and invest money and time into it. So I'm gonna go over a few things that you might wanna ask yourself, and if you're with your husband or wife, or if you're with a partner, or if you've got a business partner, you're in this together, you both should sit down and think about the following things I'm gonna go over and then implement them so you get a really good understanding if you've got a good proof of concept. So number one, when it comes to food products, when it comes to any food business, taste. You need to get some feedback and get some proof of concept, remarks and comments about the taste of the product. So if you make several batches and you start at home, and by the way, really quick side note, one of the best ways to do this and develop a food product is to do it from home. I would not recommend renting or putting out hundreds, even off thousands of dollars in renting commercial kitchens and taking also a lot of money and a lot of debt on just trying to develop packaging and bags and labels and package, whatever it may be. You need to do this at home, start on a small scale, and do it so you can get your feet kind of wet and get out to local markets within the community or the city or county that you live in, okay? This is also a lot of savings, a lot of less investment on your time as far as your money's concerned, doing it this way. So you wanna definitely start in a small home-based kitchen developing this product and this idea. So number one, you wanna get feedback on taste. When you go to a farmer's market, if you set up a booth at an event, ask people, hey, here's a sample of my product. If you buy this right now, if you want to taste it, let me know what you think. Is it really tasty? Is it something that you would see on a grocery store shelf that you would pay $5, $6, $7, $10 for, whatever that price point is that you're selling it at the market, and get some feedback on the taste first. Some people may love your product. Some people may say, hey, this is delicious, but I'm kind of gluten-free. Is there a recipe or a version you can make that's gluten-free? Oh, this tastes delicious, but it's a little bit on the salty side. Maybe do you have a variation that has no salt? All of this different type of feedback will kind of let you understand on the aspects of the tasting of the item, what you can do differently, or maybe something you can modify to make it better or more appealing. Okay, number two is your packaging. Now, like I just mentioned, you don't need to spend a ton of money up front initially. Don't try to make it look overly professional, because by doing that, a lot of times, for instance, I have a lot of my clients that say they want to make customized bags that have all of the information on the bags. You see them in grocery stores. They're not just with labels, they're really professionally made. Many of those are very expensive per unit, and you're not going to be ordering them enough at that beginning stage to really merit spending that much money on the packaging. So you want to make something that's really eye-catching, something that has a simple label, maybe a really cool design or a graphic, of course all of the nutritional information and such, but don't go overboard initially at first with your packaging. Keep it a simple concept, because many of these custom bag printing companies are going to require you to buy thousands of units up front. And if you don't want to move forward with the idea, then you've spent a lot of money on bags that are just sitting there in a box and you've wasted money. So developing a really nice, eye-catching, cool-looking packaging is a good idea. Don't overdo it at first. Get some feedback from the people who are buying it at these different events, and then get some comments and see if that's something that you can either improve on, or maybe there's a different size that you can improve on, or maybe the look of the label. I always recommend, for instance, here's an example. If you've got a basic product that's like a trail mix, transparent bag, putting a really nice label on the front and of course your nutritional information nice on the back, and keeping it simple to begin with is always a good idea. That way you can always improve on it without over investing your money up front. Number three, this is probably the most important thing, but keep in mind your price. Get some feedback, get some part of the proof of concept idea when it comes to packaged food products or food businesses, the pricing of your food. Now, the one thing you need to understand too is that when you start small, you won't be able to compete with national brands or big companies that are producing them for pennies on the dollar. Yours are going to be a little bit more expensive, but that's okay. Don't let it stop you, but get some feedback from people who are buying and say, hey, you know, if it's a $10 bag of trail mix, if you saw this on the store, if you saw it on the store shelves, would you pay $10 or $15 for it? And then that way you can get some understanding of where your prices should be. Now, of course, you need to be profitable in order to maintain, stay in business. But don't think that you're going to compete with huge national brands that can produce and mass produce products much more cheaper than you could. So keep it within about the market value. If you go to farmers markets and you see other stands or other booths where they have products similar to yours, you might want to be in that same price range and not outprice yourself, okay? Number four, your cost. Now, everything I just talked about from one to three is going to be completely based upon the cost of your product. So the ability for you to produce a product that either tastes good, that looks great, and the price is right, is going to be dependent on all of the factors that you're going to get for your cost. The cost of your ingredients, the cost of the bag or the packaging, the cost of the labeling, everything that's going to go along with it in order for you to get some feedback on the taste, feedback on the packaging, and feedback on the price. Make sure that you have a cost that's going to be profitable for you to stay in business. And if you begin to launch this and the proof of concept goes over very well, then you can scale this business at a more profitable rate. Now, here's a few questions that you definitely need to understand and how the value of proof of concept comes into play with food products in general. So, number five, the use of a co-packer. So, a lot of my clients that I've spoken to on the phone are very excited about their business. They want to launch it. They're very excited about getting their product in the marketplace. But they say, you know what, Damien, I've already contacted a co-packer and I can get, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 units made. And it'll be very, very inexpensive. And I really feel confident about the product. But then I asked them, where are you selling it? Well, I don't have a website just yet. I haven't gone to any farmers markets. And I haven't really knocked on any doors at the grocery stores. That doesn't make any sense. So what you're doing is you're putting the cart in front of the horse, in a sense, because your proof of concept hasn't paid off yet. You haven't actually implemented a proof of concept, and you're jumping right into using a co-packer for your product. So mass producing a product, again, if it's trail mix or what have you, getting someone to make 5,000 units of this doesn't make sense if you have nowhere to sell it. If you have no proof that anybody even likes it, or anything about what we just discussed in the proof of concept idea, is that if you don't have an outlet for it or people with a purchase order to buy it, why would you go ahead and advance yourself and spend all that money on an idea that you think will go over very well? So the idea, again, of proof of concept is kind of vetting the process, is to make sure that, you know what, this trail mix is really going to sell. If I get a co-packer to produce 5,000 or 6,000 units, then it makes sense for you to do that. Otherwise, stay away from co-packers if you don't have a proof of concept. That takes me to number four, and I touched on it just briefly, is what avenue do you have to sell it? Now, if you're going frequently to farmers markets and you see that you're selling out of 100 bags, 200 bags, or whatever it is, the product that you're making, every week you're selling out of it and you can't keep up with the sales, that is a good idea then. That gives you the proof of concept you need to go to a co-packer, produce the product, and then you can sell it at farmers markets and begin to commercially produce your product. So if you don't have an avenue, you don't have a website to sell it on, maybe you don't have any e-commerce going, and you simply want to buy the product and then start with no proof of concept, that is going to be a big waste of your time and resources as well. Number three, this is probably the most financially costly version of any of the questions I'm about to tell you to ask yourself. But number three is loans and credit cards and loans from friends. So you have an idea for, again, let's just say granola, and you think that this recipe is going to do fantastic. So what do? Well, you go out and you take a small personal loan because then you want to start producing it, mass producing it, making a lot of it in your kitchen, maybe even at home. But you're now taking loans out, which are going to be interest with no proof of concept. You're maxing out credit cards or charging things on a credit card with interest with no proof of concept. Or you're getting loans from friends or family, telling them that you're going to pay them back with interest. But again, you have no proof of concept. So that's again where it's very valuable to have the idea tested first. Get some feedback first and then dive into a financial responsibility such as a loan or a credit card or launching the business and getting a loan for the business. Maybe it's not a personal loan. So when it comes to that, number three is loans, credit cards, and any type of other personal financial resources you have. Don't just cash in everything and then start producing it. Then you try to figure out how to sell it. Don't do that because you've got to have that proof of concept. Number two, renting of a commercial kitchen in advance of a proof of concept. This is another downfall that a lot of people have in mind, that when you go to a commercial kitchen and you want to definitely make this granola and you know that you're gonna sell it, so I'm gonna go rent a commercial kitchen that's gonna cost me $100 a day, produce a bunch of stuff, and then figure out how to sell it without any proof of concept. Commercial kitchen renting or any type of facility that you're gonna be spending hundreds, if not thousands, you better have sold about 500 or 600 of these before you do that, or even a couple thousand bags, because it won't financially make any sense. Once you have rented it and you've spent all that time and then you got to bring all the ingredients in the bags and you start producing it at the commercial kitchen, then you go over here to try to sell it to farmers market and try it out. Again, doesn't make sense. Don't do it without proof of concept, because you're throwing money out into something that you have no idea whether or not it's going to sell. Don't rent a commercial kitchen, start it at home, then go out and test the market and get your proof of concept. Number one, the biggest question you need to ask yourself is time. You, as an entrepreneur, trust me, resources like money are not the most important thing. Resources like connections are not the most important thing. I can tell you from my own experience, 14 years I've been doing this, I will tell you that time is the most valuable thing I have. And a lot of it is very, very tight throughout the day because I run a lot of businesses and YouTube channels. Why do I tell you this? Because it's the same scenario. You're probably working a job right now, or you have a very busy schedule with your family. But if you start to mass produce a product that you truly haven't tested or given some proof of concept to yet, and you don't have a lot of time to do that, but that extra little bit of time you do, you're kind of, again, putting the cart in front of the horse. So you want to start small. Use the time that you have very wisely. Make small batches of your product. Make it at home. Don't rent a commercial kitchen. Then test it in the marketplace. Once you do that, that's the sign that you've got proof of concept. Hey, this is really a good product. I need to go to commercial kitchen. Hey, this is a really good product. I should take out a loan and expand this business. Hey, this is not a hobby anymore. This is a business. Then you start taking it more seriously. So that is the most important thing when it comes to a food product in general, or even any food business, food trucks or restaurants or cafes. Test out your food first. That way you don't go into the marketplace with not having a proof of concept. So that is exactly what it means to have a proof of concept. I hope I reiterated that and explained that to you perfectly. If I did, definitely give me a big thumbs up. If it was easy to understand and it was very helpful, let me know down below. If you have any comments on proof of concepts, or if you've actually done one yourself, let us know how that actually worked out, because I have a lot of viewers here and subscribers who would love to hear from your own experience as well. So check out these videos for additional food entrepreneur video content, and I'll see you guys on our next video.